Forward to tonight. I know it's going to be a real pleasant delight for us spiritually to hear these young people. You know, there's three deadly enemies to our Christian life. Three of them. One of them is fear, one of them is worry, and the other is loneliness. I think when we read the scripture, we find a definition to all of these in Bible characters. When God made his Bible and put it all into one canonized scripture, the Old Testament and the New Testament, God made it in such a way that he revealed all the warts and scars of his men of God that he let us a little bit into their private life. There's no way possible that you and I can ever live above these things that plague us. In fact, the number one of these three foes, fear, worry, and loneliness, I would say the one I'm going to speak on this morning, fear, can become the most devastating, despicable thing in our life. Fear does not mobilize us, it immobilizes us. Fear causes us to stand still. When our body says move forward, fear tells us no, stay where you are. And then it takes the urging of God's Holy Spirit that lives in us to get us to move along and be what God wants us to be. Paul knew something about fear when he wrote those words, I can do all through Jesus Christ, my Lord. That's the only remedy for fear in our life. I think worry is a product of fear, because when fear comes into our life, it causes us to look within and we see that there's nothing that we can do. Loneliness is a fear that overtakes most elderly people in their life. They have been very confident. They have been very pleased with what they've done for the Lord. And when they come down to maybe losing their mate that has been their companion for many, many, many years, and they do not know how to react now that they're all by themselves. Family comes in for a little while, then they're gone, and all of a sudden they're left alone. And loneliness sets in. In fact, if you read statistics, it tells us that a lot of elderly people die basically from loneliness. Worry will bring on cancer and an agitated stomach. Fear, as I said, will make us stand still in whatever we're doing. I am not going to crawl up on a telephone pole and touch those lines because I have a dreaded fear of what would happen to me. It might curl my hair. It might cause all that I have to finally fall out. I don't know, but I have a fear. I'd stay away from things like that. I stay away from real heights. I really have to close my eyes when I go into the airplane to fly, but I've got my wife there, and she suppresses fear because she's so confident and so patient. And so some of you know what I'm talking about when I'm talking about fear. But when we get to the Word of God, God's Word tells us that fear defined is definitely terror and dread. We're experiencing fear these days because of the terrorists that are crossing into our borders and into our land. We know, if we really stop and look at the situation, we know that terror activity has already been to our country, and we're not past that situation yet. That's why we are to trust in the Lord with all of our might, all of our mind, all of our being. And he will remove that fear. He may not move us out of the fear, but he'll remove us from fear itself. I believe it was President Roosevelt many years ago, about the time we were in World War II, that said, fear is nothing but fearing fear itself. Sometimes when we think about fear, it is a roadblock that Satan has put up to stop us and to thwart us from doing what God wants us to do. But when we turn to the Lord and we say, Lord, what can I do? The Lord will whisper to us, you can't do anything. But if you'll let me take over in your life, we will see the outcome will be far different than if you would do it in your own flesh and your own strength. Those are hard lessons to learn. Fear is overcome many times by what is really there that causes fear. You take a woman who is a frail woman, built very slight, not strong looking. Her fear is fire. She stays away from a great fire. It has nothing to please her or to entertain her with. She is fearful of the fire. But when that roaring fire is moving across her home and her child is in there, all fear is cast aside and she plunges into that fire to save her child. That's how we overcome fear sometimes. We realize that something must be done. And God said, especially to the Christian, I am always with you. God will propel me into that fear in the time of a dangerous situation. And so fear is also takes over the soldiers. Soldiers sometime in the midst of battle, fear takes over. And the fear of a young man that is strapped on a uniform and taken up the weaponry and positioned himself to fight for our country on a foreign land, that soldier, though he may have a fear of battle, let his buddy fall and he will risk his life to recover that buddy and bring him back to safety. The incidences, the situations many times removes the power of fear that is in our life. That's why when we sing, then this song should be a strengthening song to us. Rescue the perishing. We're like that mother. We're like that soldier. We cast fear aside and we go to rescue the perishing. I'm talking about people that are perishing spiritually, headed for hell. And yet, we know there's another side. We are to care for the dying. Someone says, whoa, I don't know. I never could do that. I just am not gifted that way. But when one of your loved ones is needing help at their bedside, some of those who fear doing something like that will be the first one there to try to help out and do what they can. And so fear is always mentioned in the Bible. The phrase fear not occurs no less than about 52 times in the scripture. In Genesis chapter 15 in verse number 1, if you want to look with me there, I love to read and study about Abram. When his name was Abram, chapter 15 in verse 1, God went to Abram over in the land of the Chaldeans, Mesopotamia, Iraq today, and he saw the heart of this man, Abram, and he decided he could use Abram. He'll have to convert him to his way. He'll have to take him out of the pagan atmosphere and conditions where he's been trained all of his life. He'll have to remake Abraham when he gives him his name later. And Abraham becomes a man of faith, and he is exceedingly the one that we are to follow when we talk about faith. But look what God says to him in chapter 15, verse 1. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, listen to this, God knew his heart, fear not. And when we come to a situation in our life of anything that we're doing, and especially if it's something that belongs to our calling to do the work of the Lord after being saved, God whispers in our ear, fear not, Abram, because I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. What was he saying to Abraham? He is saying, Abraham, I have overcome fear for you. I have to come to the realization this morning that fear is used to overcome. And then fear, we know the last thing about fear, and that is spiritual fear. When John was on the Isle of Patmos, he was worshiping in the Lord all by himself on the Lord's day. He heard a voice behind him, and when he turned, it was the Lord Jesus Christ in his glorified body. And immediately John fell down to worship him. And Jesus said, fear thou not. It is I. And so through Jesus Christ, we overcome fear. When Peter, James, and John was on the Mount of Transfiguration, and they saw there Moses and Elijah conferring with Jesus, they were so enthralled in that, Peter thought he would get them involved in that. Let's build three little booths, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah, Lord. We just can't be here long enough. But all of a sudden, the voice of God came out of this cloud that surrounded them and said, this is my beloved Son, hear ye him. And they fell down as if dead because they were in the presence of God. Awe is connected to fear. When a man has become awed or enthralled in God, if you see him that close, you're going to have nothing to do. You're going to fall down as dead men. And so the fear of God is a good thing. The Bible says that the wisdom becomes when we learn to fear God. That's the beginning of wisdom in our life as a child of God. But there are some things that we need to talk about a little bit this morning, and that is some things that will help us through this time of our life. You know, we're living in a very dangerous time. That's been worn out because it is a dangerous time. It's been danger for Christians all over the world since Jesus went back to heaven. In our nation, we've been blessed of God. We haven't known any real persecution for being a Christian. That time is going to change. That time is changing right now. If you read the headlines, the newspaper, or you read the news on Google or the internet, you'll see that in other countries they've been going through persecution by being a Christian for many, many, many years. While we look around and there's a little jar of the door of real terrorist and fear coming into our borders, and we try to close our eyes, we try to hide ourselves in the sand, we try to just pass it off, but we get by ourselves, we look at it, and when we're alone, we say, here's real fear in our nation. But we can't go around living in fear. I would like to do that. I'd kind of keep me understanding that I'm not really safe, but yet we are safe. This is still the best nation on the planet to live, and I love it, and I do not want to leave it until the Lord says, come home. And so we have so many things that will help us. God said to Abram, my shield will protect you. Paul, speaking to you and me in Ephesians chapter 6, reminds us that we are in a spiritual warfare. When we became a Christian, no matter what age, no matter what station of life we are in or were in, when we received Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, we became at once an enemy to the arch enemy of God, Satan himself. Satan does not really mind when a person gets saved. He knows he's lost that person because he is in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit lives in him. And so Satan does not worry himself or concern himself with trying to get that person back to his fold. He's lost them. But what he does do is bring things into our life, knowing human nature like he knows us, and he will bring across our path something that will terrorize us or make us become so fearful we are dead in our tracks. And so he has accomplished the victory that he wants. Sad to say, many people who profess Jesus Christ as their Savior are living there today, fearful of what's going to happen. Fearful, some people get fearful. Howard Hughes, I was just watching something the other day about Howard Hughes and coming down to the close of his life. Howard Hughes was worth $1 billion. He was probably the wealthiest man in the world at one time, and that was way back in the 40s. And Howard Hughes was a fearful man. He would hide himself in his pajamas in his suite, would not allow anybody to come in, not allow anyone to touch him, and he would sit in that room day after day after day. He became a recluse because he had such a fear of everything. And so this man that had the greatest amount of money in the world at one time came down to his life at an early age and died, still a fearful man. So money cannot take away fear that we have today. And then there's something else I want you to notice, that God says that I am thy exceeding great reward to Abram. He said it in a way that caused us to understand that God will make fear become no fear whatsoever. Now, that's kind of a parallel because God has made us a human body. He knows our limitations. He knows our good points. But God knows when we're in Him, when we're walking close to the Lord, the fear will be removed because of our presence with the Almighty God. I remember when I was a small boy, my older brother, who's still alive now and lives out in Lubbock, my brother Kenneth, I thought if I was with him, there was nothing ever going to bother me or get to me. And that's how I felt about him. I felt he had the answer to everything. He could do anything. And I was also always safe in his presence. But that's how Abraham was taught by God. If you'll walk with me, if you'll go the way I'm going, God says you'll have no fear. Abraham had no fear. God spoke to his heart, said, bring your family and come out of the Chaldees. And Abram said, where are we going? And God said, you'll see when we get there. And so by faith, he followed this God that he had never communed with before in his life. And every time, every step that Abram took, he took it in faith, following God, trusting God at his word. And then God came to a time, as I said in chapter 15 of verse 1 in Genesis, he came to a time when he said and realized that Abram had become fearful. And so he said, fear not, Abram. I am your shield. I will protect you. When God protects you, that means he's going to protect us in our darkest hour. And let me tell you something. If you haven't had a dark hour in your life, watch out, you're going to have one. You better be ready when a dark hour comes in your life. When a dark hour comes in our life, naturally, we really don't know what to do. We try to plan for it. We think, oh, I can take care of this. I'm strong in the Lord. I read my Bible daily. I pray daily. I know the Lord is with me. But when we're faced with a dark thing coming into our life, we don't know what to do many times. Sometimes we don't go to the Bible. Sometimes we try to reason within ourselves what to do and how to overcome. But if we get real quiet and listen to the Lord, he will tell us, fear not. I am your shield. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 6, as I started to say a little while ago, that we are wrestling, we're fighting with an unseen enemy. Spiritual beings, not a fleshly warfare. And Paul said the only way that we can overtake that is to put on the whole armor of God. And when we have put on all of that armor, our helmet of salvation, our shoes, our sandals, shod for the preparation of the gospel, then we have the great shield that we take up. And that is the shield of faith. When you're hiding behind God's shield of faith, we can rest easy because God is in the forefront taking care of anything that gives us problems in our life. Fear. How do we overcome fear? Do we read a book? Do we watch a program? Do we go to a seminar when someone's going to tell us how exactly to overcome fear? No, we have to listen to the Lord. As I said in Revelation, Jesus said to John, "Fear not." He has that phrase to all of us this morning, "Fear not." Life is filled with uncertainties and calamities. When was the last time you read the book of Revelation? Sat down and read the book of Revelation and read a few paragraphs and envision what's going on in our world today, not just our nation, but in the world today. And all of a sudden you see that God is bringing all that down to an end in Revelation. You read a few more verses and you ask the Lord, "How can I remove the fear of these things that are happening and coming upon me?" And God says, "Just keep reading." You see, what we know that most people don't know that are not saved, we can read the book of Revelation, and because we are a child of God, we know the outcome. We're not going to be in the tribulation period as a child of God. When Jesus comes to rapture his church, we that are alive and remain, Paul said, shall be caught up to the heavens with Jesus Christ. The dead in Christ will rise first. We which are alive and remain shall be caught up in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, ever to be with the Lord. So our time of fear and worry and loneliness is over. And Jesus has told us, because we've read all the book, that at the close of that great tribulation period, when God is dealing with Satan and sin and the Jewish people, there'll be a great amount of people saved during the tribulation period, but those that have ever heard the plan of salvation this side of the tribulation period, when they go into that tribulation period having not been saved, 99% will never receive Christ, because they will believe the lie of Satan, the lie of the Antichrist. And therefore they will take his mark and they have sealed their doom. But there are those that will go into that tribulation that these 144,000 young Jewish men that have never been tainted by apostasy and all of the works of Satan, they will go out all over the land, 144,000 strong, and they will be soul winners, avid soul winners. They will reap a great harvest of people who have never heard the gospel plan of salvation. And yet, when they come into that tribulation period, not so much so in the first 3.5 years, enough to be persecuted and put to death, Satan then knows that the end is ultimately on its way, because then he will persecute them and hate them more than he ever did before. And many of them, and most of them, will be martyred for the cause of Christ. But when we know the end and we realize that at the close of that tribulation period, God will bring those souls, bring them into the covering of heaven, but then he does something better than that. He'll go into a time of 1,000 years called the millennial kingdom. Paul said we will rule and reign with Christ for 1,000 years. I believe that. I believe there's going to be something for me to do in the millennial kingdom and something for you to do. And so many people will be allowed to come into the millennial kingdom that have never been saved. And it's during that time that you and I probably will have our greatest task and works before us, because we're going to be in a glorified body likened to Jesus Christ, and He's going to give us a position. Some of them will have a position that'll be very great. Some will just have a place in the millennial kingdom. I don't know what it's going to be, but I'll have no fear in that millennial kingdom time. I know this, that wherever I am in this life, I am never alone. The person of Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit lives in my soul. You don't see Jay Bowen, you see the house that Jay Bowen lives in. The real Jay Bowen is clothed inside. I am secure by the blood of Jesus Christ. I know that my Redeemer liveth, said Job of old, and that He shall appear one day upon this earth. I know that I'm saved today. I know that Jesus Christ is my Savior. I can look back through my life and I can see His hand in my life every day of my life. And when I step out of line with the Lord, no one has to stand before me and say, "You are out of fellowship with God. You are being disobedient." I don't need that, because the Holy Spirit that lives in me wants nothing but the best for me, and He will urge me and nudge me and convict me that my way is wrong and I should get back to following the Lord. And about that time, I feel the Lord take my hand in His, and it's up to me at this point. Do I want to continue following the Savior, or do I just want to stay in the lethargy of my sin and do nothing? But if you're born again of the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit beareth witness with our spirit that we are the child of God, and we're ready to go and get right back on the path that God is leading us in. Dismissing all fear, dismissing everything that stops me from being what I should be. Let me ask you something this morning. Why did you come to this church this morning? Did you come to mingle with your friends and catch up on all the news, and so that you see them next week or another week, you'll know what's been going on in their life? There's nothing wrong with that. Talk to our friends and find how they're doing health-wise, and discerning as we speak with them if there's anything there that we need to help them with and counsel with them. Why did you come? I hope you came this morning because you are a true believer in Christ. This is His house. This place has been set aside to come to and worship the Lord in spirit and truth and magnify the precious name of Jesus. And so we came here this morning not by duty, not by fear that someone will think there's something wrong with us that we do not attend the house of God. But we came this morning because we are a child of God, and we know that God expects us to be in His house on the Lord's Day. And so we come out of obedience. We come to listen, to learn, and to know sometime of the failings and the things that other Christians have come through by their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And they build up one another. Paul says, when we get together our faith, we build each other up in the faith. I enjoy talking to people about the Lord. I enjoy listening to you. I enjoy some of the questions you ask me. It puts my life and myself on the spot that I'd better keep up with the Word of God. And so fear is that thing in our life that will make us become immobile. What happens when a person hears the Word of God about being saved? You know, we get it a little rushed time in our life. We think a person, the first time they ever hear the gospel, should get saved, baptized, and immediately walk in as a grown adult Christian that's been saved for years and years. That's not so. They become babes in Christ. We need to have a faith so strong in the Lord that we can take them to our side and we can teach them and we can be an example and see them grow in the things of God. We use terminology sometime with the lost. They don't have any idea of our Christianese that we speak. So we have to talk to them like we would talk to anyone, yet in the flavor of the scriptures in our vocation. And so I wonder this morning, how many of you have decided what you came to this Lord's house for? If there's something in your life, you need to get it out right today. You need to pray and ask God to give you strength to overcome whatever's in your life. If you've never known the Lord Jesus Christ, maybe you've come many times. You need to today say, this is the day that I should cast all fear aside. See, the devil is telling you if you come up here and profess Jesus Christ publicly, they're going to make fun of you. And so that fear has stopped you in your pew. But don't let that happen this morning. How can you overcome fear in your life as a Christian? Simply by trusting Jesus Christ as your Savior. Troubles are not going to stop. But when troubles come into your life, you have someone to go to who will tell you, fear not, I've got everything in control. You know, I don't drive much anymore. And so I don't mind going anywhere because my wife, Dee, does all the driving. I'm ready to go. You want to drive down to Houston? I'm ready to go, honey. I'll just kick back and take a nap. Right? Don't laugh. Some of you are living just like that. I look at cars coming out of this parking lot, the guy sitting over in the passenger side in easement, trust. Well, if your wife drives, you've got to insert a lot of trust. But they get us there. Well, Jesus Christ is in the driver's seat. He will do for you this morning what no one else can do. Do you know the Lord is your Savior? If you do, is He still precious to you? Do you talk to Him? Do you make known all the fears that are in your life? All of the worry, all of the loneliness? Have you touched that in prayer even today? Well, if you have, God is not listening to you. He is listening to you. He has not turned you off. He wants us to come to Him with our weaknesses and our confession that I can't do this without you, dear God. And God said, that's what I've been wanting you to say to me. And so He communes with us as a friend, and He'll do that to you this morning. I'm going to ask you to stand, please, with your head bowed. And if you are here today and you have something in your life that has just stopped you dead in the tracks, you're saved, you know you're going to heaven. That was settled a long time ago. But maybe there's something in your life. You want to be a soul winner, but there's a fear there. You want to enlist as a Sunday school teacher. You know the scriptures well enough to teach them by the guidance of the Holy Spirit in your life. And so you want to overcome that fear, then come and ask God to give you victory and remove that fear. Maybe the fear of speaking to a loved one about salvation. God will remove that fear if you'll ask Him. Maybe there's the fear that you have been saved, but you're just fearsome about following the Lord in baptism. This will be a good time today to come and say, Lord, remove that fear. I want to be obedient to you and follow you in believer's baptism. I want to become a member of this church. Whatever the case, let's pray together, and then you let God speak to your heart this morning. Dear Father, we have nothing to fear but fear itself, because Jesus Christ has told us He can give us peace over fear. He can loose us from the bonds of fear in our life. We can be used of You at liberty because You give us freedom from fear, especially of man and situations around us. And so as we extend this invitation, dear Father, on Your behalf, we ask those that maybe need to come this morning for some reason, whatever it might be. And I ask that Your will be done in this time. In Jesus' name I pray. Brother Bill is